All right, well, good morning. I want to greet each one of you in the name of Jesus. I'm not sure what the difference is, but I don't feel so nervous this morning as the last two times that I brought the message. And I'm not sure why, other than maybe it's just because of the way God lined everything up. It's incredible to me how how God can work everything out. I spoke on the last time I preached. Good. Then I can just preach it all over again and we don't have to worry about it. No, not really, but it was last night as I was studying and pulled up one of the passages that I came up with. I saw some marks in there and I was like, wait a minute. Did I have something or did somebody else? And got to looking, and sure enough, I used some of the same passage, but it was kind of a different subject. But along the same line, actually. Last time I talked about one anothering, just helping each other and loving each other the way we should. But today my sermon is going to be on servanthood, which kind of goes along with that, but it has a kind of a different, it's kind of a different subject in all, if you really think about it. The one anothering I had was more on helping each other as a church, where servanthood goes all over. It's for everyone. We need to be servants to all. I'd like to thank Grant for the devotions this morning. I don't know, maybe some of you here haven't heard, but about 3 weeks ago, my mom passed away, and I have felt that peace through this whole time. It's incredible. I can't explain it, and I know it's because of your prayers. The title I've given this is Servanthood, and along with that, Be a Servant in Your Hood, which short for neighborhood, but not your hoodie, so which I guess you can be a servant in a hoodie. But I'd like to talk a little bit about that. The main scriptures I'm going to be pulling out of is Philippians 1, 1 through 11, and then also Philippians 2, 1 through 11. And I'd like to play a song at the end. I guess Brian will be off the hook for the end song, but it's amazing to me how God worked this out. Before Mom passed away, it was probably a week or a half a week, I don't know. I was sitting listening to music while I'm working, and we usually have our earbuds in so we can listen to it. And it sometimes I'll just play like a random list, and it kind of gives me stuff like I've been listening to. And this song, the Servant Song, came on. And I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with it, but that's what set this whole thing off is it just talks about loving each other, serving each other, and being willing to serve each other. And the other thing that amazed me, I mean, being through Mom's death and the way you all have served, and then the way that worked out to where we were going to have communion, but they waited till this Sunday, and this goes right along with communion. And so it kind of blows me away how God works things out. A servant is a person who performs duties for others, especially a person employed in a house on domestic duties or as a personal attendant. And along with that is a devoted and helpful follower or supporter, a tireless servant of God. I think a lot of times servant and slave kind of get mesh together, and we kind of think of the same thing, but usually a servant is someone that is paid for their work, and they're working out of their own free will, not being bought with a price. But I'd just like to say again, you guys, really this sermon is for me. It's not for you guys. You don't even need this. But so I guess you can use this as an encouragement, not a reprimand. Y'all have done and are doing so much already, and this is just a reminder as to why we are to serve one another. You as a church have served in many ways, and then with Mom's death, you've helped through prayers, helped with meals, dug Mom's grave, sang songs for the service, printed bulletins, hosted families, and who knows what else behind the scenes. There's been so much you guys have done, and it really means a lot to have a family like this. And I love each and every one of you for it. Why don't we start by reading Philippians 1, 1 through 11. And I'll try to keep this brief, but I may have to just kind of skip over some things, but we'll see how time goes. All right, and this is the scripture. I'm reading this just as an encouragement to y'all. Paul and Timothy were writing this to the Philippians, and I thought about sticking our family's names in here instead of Paul and Timothy, and just thanking you and encouraging you for what you've done as a church. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, or maybe I should say at New Holland, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So that's just kind of an encouragement to y'all. And then just thinking back, thinking of my mom, I hadn't really thought of how much a servant Mom actually was until I didn't have her. And I guess I just took things for granted, as we all tend to do. But I just wanted to share a little bit. She ended up serving up till her dying day. And that's one of the last memories I have of Mom. And I'm really thankful for that memory. But she ended up that day sitting down and cutting up broccoli salad for supper because we were coming over for supper tonight. And didn't know she wasn't going to be there. But it was just amazing to me how, you know, even it was mentioned in her funeral and stuff that she loved to serve. And food was one of the ways that she did. Then the other thing was she also had a few whoopie pies and apple pies for us in the fridge, and so everything was ready to go, and so was she. It's kind of a neat memory to think of and to be able to try to follow after. And I thought about saying that I would be doing good if I was half the servant my mom was. But on the other hand, she's not the one we should be following. Jesus is the perfect example that we should be striving to mimic. The first point I'd like to bring up is the example of servanthood. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see here in this scripture, Jesus is the ultimate example of being a servant. He made himself so low by coming to earth, becoming a human, being one of us, but yet serving us. And so often there's so many of these opposites. To have life, you have to die. And to be great, you must be a servant. And Jesus told us that different times in Scripture. Mark 10, 42 through 45 says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentile lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Philippians 2, 6 through 7, he told us how to be great. Who being in very made in human likeness. And basically, the biggest thing that is in the way of becoming a servant is ourselves. We tend to be selfish. John 13, 12 through 17, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than one who sent him. You know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Matthew 20, 25 through 28, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In John MacArthur's book, Slave, The Hidden Truth About Your Identity in Christ, he discusses how in English translations of the Bible, the Greek word doulos is often translated servant or bondservant, when it should be rendered slave. He gives a couple of reasons why this has likely been done. One reason is the Western stigma attached to the word slave. Another is that the word servant back when the Bible was first translated into English, better described doulos. Some may ask, what is what the difference is? MacArthur explains, while it is true that the duties of slave and servant may overlap to some degree, there is a key distinction between the two. Servants are hired, slaves are owned. Servants have an element of freedom in choosing whom they work for and what they do. The idea of servanthood maintains some level of self-autonomy and personal rights. Slaves, on the other hand, have no freedom, autonomy, or rights in the Greco-Roman world. Slaves were considered property to the point that in the eyes of the law, they were regarded as things rather than persons. To be someone's slave was to be his possession, bound to obey his will without hesitation or argument. And that's on pages 16 and 17 of that book. But so we kind of see the difference of that. And I thought of the times that I've heard about, you know, where some of the, I guess they called them slaves, but it was more servants, loved their masters so much that they decided to stay with them, and so they'd pierce their ear to show that they were their masters for the rest of their lives. And that's kind of how we need to be as Christians. We need to be totally dedicated to Christ, and in order to do that, I came to my second point, is the way of servanthood. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. When we have the love of Christ in us, he's given us gifts that we can use to help others around us. And so that's what we need to do with that. Romans 12:1 and 2, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And John 15:12-13, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. So we can see again here the perfection of the example that Christ left us in choosing the way of servanthood. And that brings me to my last point, the reason of servanthood. You know, if we think about what Christ has done for us and what he came from to go through that for us is just unfathomable. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So that is the main reason of servanthood, is for Jesus' sake. If he gave his all for us, why can't we give our all for him? Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So there is a reward. It may not be here on earth, but Mom's seeing that reward right now. And I'm just looking forward to that time that we can receive that. Matthew 23:11-12, the greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And Mark 9:35, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And that word all stuck out to me. Not just family and friends and loved ones, but all. And we were talking about that in Sunday school. I was amazed how that kind of fit along with this. Just having that love for for others, even when they're at their lowest points. You know, so often we end up placing ourselves on a pedestal, going higher than we should, and yeah, it just kind of reminds us again that we need to put that aside and serve others. And then I've kind of touched on, you know, the feet washing. That's one way that we can remember that example that Jesus gave us, is to wash each other's feet, like we'll do tonight. Kind of some of the last comments I have. I was talking to someone the other day, and I was thinking, you know, usually we're kind of on the side of, well, we have to serve them again, or we have to do this for so-and-so. But really, our attitude should be, we get to serve. God did for us way more than we could have done. Why can't we be willing to serve others? And just because of the love of Christ and how he served us, we should want to serve him and others. I'll leave you with this comment, and then we'll pray and go ahead and play that song. But meditate on the grace of Christ shown to us on the cross, and recognize that he has freed you from your slavery to sin and enabled you to live in a way that pleases him. You serve a new master. Sin is no longer your master, but now your enemy. God is no longer your enemy, but now your master. A master more loving and gracious than we could ever imagine. Serve him joyfully. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love and your peace and joy that you can give to each one of us. And God, I thank you so much for just being willing to come to earth as a servant and serve each one of us, and help us to be able to just give that service back to you, and serve you with our whole heart, and serve each other. And God, I thank you for each one here this morning. I pray that you would guide each one of us throughout our week, help us to remember who we're living for as we go throughout our week, and just thank you and praise you for all you're doing in our lives. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.